Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. These are the things that I need to pray, 'cause I can't find peace any other way. I'm a mess underneath, and I'm just too scared to show it. And everything's not fine, and I'm not okay. But it's great to know I can come this way. Because of you, Jesus, anytime, anywhere, any heartache, I'm never. I'm breathing in, I'm innocent. It's like my heart's on fire again. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. I'm safe when I am with you. I'm breathing in, I'm innocent. It's like my heart's on fire again. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. I'm safe when I am with you. And so I'm here just as I am, bruised or broken, I don't have to. When I'm with you, I feel the real me finally breaking through. It's all because of you, Jesus. Anytime, anywhere, any heartache, I'm never too much for you to take. There's only love, there's only grace. When I'm with you, chorus again. When I'm with you, I feel the real me finally breaking through. It's all because of you, Jesus. Anytime, anywhere, any heartache, I'm never too much for you to take. There's only love, there's only grace. When I'm with you, yeah. When I'm heal the brokenhearted. You set the captives free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now you are lifting me. There is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Our God is with us. Impossible thing.
Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Our God is with us, we will fear no evil. Cause you do the impossible things. You do impossible things.
Next song is going to be new to some of you. Thought we might try to learn something new tonight. It's by Crowder. What's his first name?
David Crowder.
I think it was 2017, so I hope some of you have heard it.
Okay, a passage that you should be familiar with by now is Acts, the 6th chapter. You believe it? We're going to talk about the qualifications of the deacon tonight. And preaching the whole counsel of God. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts 6 chapter 1 through 8. Sound familiar? From a different angle. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. We had thought perhaps we were going to have a baptism tonight, and we're not able to work that out, but we're doing our best. We're going to try to have it Wednesday night. Now, we have never had a baptism on Wednesday night. There need to be enough of you here to have a quorum to vote them into the church. So we're going to try that, and there was just some circumstances that these folks could not avoid, and I'm willing for us to bend over in whatever way we need to in order to meet their needs, and this guy's a truck driver, and he's going to be leaving out, and so we're gonna try to get that done Wednesday night. We'll just see how that goes. I think the devil's against it. He's against anything that we're doing that's right, I'll tell you that. And I'm glad that he's on the other side, aren't you? We're not on his side. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You may be seated. So we've read about the first deacons being set aside here in Acts 6, 1 through 8. First of all, there was a need. We said this morning the church had a purpose. They were fulfilling a purpose here in the ordination of the deacons. The widows were being neglected, according to verse 1. There was a need for service. There was a need for someone to step to the plate and do what needed to be done so that no one would be neglected. So there was a purpose that the 12 would not leave the word of God and serve tables, according to verse 2. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit later. There's not any dishonor, of course, at all in serving tables. Most of the time, I would rather be doing that than some of the other things that I'm required to do. God calls people out for a particular service, for a particular job. God lays on their heart what they ought to be doing. There's a great reward in serving. There is just, the Lord just meets an inner need in people's lives when they find their niche, when they find that place where they are to serve at. I remember a few years ago, we were having camp up at Cedar Glades. We had a speaker to come in. His first name was Buddy. And I thought he did an excellent job. I thought he was a great camp speaker. But it wasn't just his speaking. He involved himself in every element of the camp. He had some disabilities early on in his life. You couldn't tell that in his service, but he had had. And we were having supper in the cafeteria, and the kids were emptying their tray, and you can imagine what kind of deal that was. But the first thing I noticed was that he was up, and he was emptying trays, and he was going to the tables even, and if kids were through, he was taking their tray and emptying it in the trash and putting the tray in the proper place, and he just busied himself, and I thought, I was watching him, and I thought, I could have been doing that. I could have done that. He saw the need, and he just jumped to it. So I think that there is this thing of serving that meets people's needs. Other than just the call of God on our life to do what God has called us to do, there's also this deep need that is fulfilled in our service. Number three, there were qualifications for those who were chosen. Don't just get anybody that'll do it. A warm body won't do it. It has to be someone who is qualified. And so here the disciples tell us in verse 3, seven men out of all the thousands, all the 1,000 people that had been saved and the church had grown in such a great amount, and seven men that stood out that was going to work. And I'm sure that they had help, but they were overseers. They were overseeing what was taking place. And the qualifications here, now we're going to talk about some other qualifications that Paul talked about when he sent his letter to Timothy, when he talked about ordaining deacons in the church, and he laid out the qualifications there. These first qualifications was they were of honest report. They were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. They were able, they had shown that they were able to do this job. They stood out to the people, and they were part of the selection. So look at what happened when the apostles spent their time in prayer and the word, and the deacons served. When the machinery of the church operates under the direction of God, the way that God meant for it to work, it's a machine. I mean, and the end results is souls being saved. In verse 7, the Bible says, the word of God increased and the numbers multiplied. The word of God increased and the numbers multiplied. Now, there is this great need for the pastor to be a person, to be a man of the Word. He has to know the Word. He has to study the Word. He has to be able to teach the Word to other people. He has to know it well enough that it comes to his mind when he needs it. I am so thankful for this lady in the phone that knows so much about the Bible. That it has just been amazing how quick that I can find stuff. That I was visiting on the phone with an individual, and we were discussing a problem. And I said, well, it goes back to pride. I said, the reason that there is a division is because pride has entered into it. He said, where does the Bible say that? And I said, I don't know where it says it, but I know it says it, and I'm going to find it and call you back. And so Betty and I went to looking for it, and we did find it. And I called him back and gave him the verse. There's a lot of places that the Bible talks about pride. But prayer is us talking to God. And the Word of God is God talking to us, back to us. What does the Word say? When you and I are trying to discover the answer to a question, it is always, what does the Word say about it? What does the Word of God say about it? And when we discover what the Word of God says about it, then we will have an answer to the question. Look with me over in Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts 20. Well, I know that it's in here. Look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, what he's saying here is I didn't hold anything back. I declared the whole counsel of God in my preaching, is what the Word says here. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. To preach the whole counsel of God is to preach some things that some people are not going to agree with. But when you preach the whole counsel of God, you preach all of the Bible, all of what it teaches. You don't skip over things because you know that there's someone sitting in the congregation that's not going to agree with you. You preach the whole counsel of God no matter what. And it's not that we're preaching that because we want to gouge someone or show someone how much we know, but it's because the Word of God requires us as pastors to preach the entire counsel of God. And it's important that the church believe the whole counsel of God. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you're required to teach the whole counsel of God. If you're teaching a child, you're required to teach the whole counsel of God. It's what the Word of God says, all of the Bible. We don't take Romans 1 and throw it out. We don't take 1 Timothy when he's talking about the qualifications for the pastor and the deacon and tear that part of the Bible out and say, oh, we'll just decide for ourselves how that ought to be. That was a different society back then, and so that we don't fall under those rules. The Bible has not changed. The Bible says of God that he's not changed, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the Word of God does not change. We might change our approach. We might put it out in a different way or different form, but it's still the whole counsel of God whenever we lay that out. So let's look, secondly, I only have 2 points tonight, at the qualifications that Paul gives Timothy for the deacons. Look with me at 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 8 through verse 13. Likewise must the deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says they're not to be double-tongued. In other words, they're to be sincere. They're not to speak one thing when they're with you and something else when they're with someone else. Just go along, get along. They are to be sincere in their lives and in their speech. They're not to be drunks, of course. That seems like that would go without saying, but not given to much wine. My father-in-law used to say that the deacon can drink a little wine, but the pastor can't drink any. I think that our best solution to that is to be teetotalers, and because of what the Bible teaches about wine. Wine is a malt, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever shall be deceived thereby is not wise. And the best thing for us to do, since we've got clean water, is to not be deceived by that. He's not to be greedy, in that he won't go to every means to make himself wealthy. There's nothing wrong with living well. I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I think he's talking about by any means. I think it's by cheating or doing whatever to get ahead. He's not to be greedy. And greed sometimes leads to that or lends to that. And also, he's to be worthy of respect, the Bible says. Verse 9 says that he is a Christian with a clear conscience. His relationship with God is what it ought to be. He is he's transparent. He's truthful. He knows he's not perfect. It's not talking about a perfect person here. It's talking about somebody who is sincere. It's talking about someone who is worthy of respect. It's talking about someone who has a relationship with the Lord, and he's not vaunting that in some way, or is not a bragger about that, but he's got a clear conscience on that. In verse 10, he's to be found blameless. And literally, there again, it does not mean that he's a perfect person. There's been only one perfect man, and they crucified him. None of us are perfect in the sense that God is perfect. He's to be found blameless. He's to be above reproach. There's not any skeletons in his closet that would keep him from serving in the way that he should serve. Let's see, what translation did I use here? The Amplified Bible says, and let them also be tried and investigated and proved first. Then, if they turn out to be above reproach, let them serve as deacons. I thought that was a good translation of those verses. Verse 11 talks about their wives. I was visiting with someone this week, and I was talking about some folks having problems and in their family, and I said, well, won't you suggest to them that they visit Osage? And I said, we have as many problems as anybody else does, but we're preaching the Word of God. We're preaching what the Word of God teaches. And I think that'd help anybody. And the person said, well, his wife would have a little problem with that because she's one of the elders in the church. I said, well, that is totally unscriptural. It's not what the Word of God teaches whatsoever. And I have folks that would fuss with me about that. And I'm thinking, are you going to take this part of the Bible and just rip it out? You cannot translate it any other way. You can't translate it any other way. I understand that they were women in the New Testament church that served, not as deacons. That you have to pay attention to the translation. You have to pay attention to what the qualifications are. You have to take the whole counsel of God. You have to take what, when Paul was talking about the qualifications of the pastor and the deacon, when he was talking to 1 Timothy, you have to take that into account. The Bible never disagrees with itself. There is never any disagreement in the Word of God. So, when it says the husband of one wife, I take that to be the husband of one wife, and I don't know how in the world that you could change it in any other way. I was in a meeting and with some pastors, and this discussion came up, and I said, it's clear as far as I'm concerned. It's not even open for discussion. And after we left the meeting, one of the pastors stopped me and talked to me, and he said, I guess you realize you was by yourself in there. And he's talking about himself. And I said, well, then there are a bunch of liberals. And they were all Southern Baptists. Because it's not what the Word of God teaches. It teaches that the deacon is to be a man. That's the only way that you can translate the husband of one wife. If it had been different than that, the Lord would have said, or if it's a woman, the wife of one husband. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't give any room for that. And there's a purpose behind that. I've been quarreled with about, we go on. The Bible says I wouldn't have a woman teach or usurp authority over a man. So what are we going to do with that verse? We're just going to have to tear it out and do away with it. It doesn't mean that we don't have women that are smarter than men. I wouldn't want to take an IQ test against any woman in here. It doesn't mean that at all, but it just means what the standard of the Scripture has set out, that women are created equal, but not the same, for different jobs. And so, he's to be, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. That would cinch it for me right there. But when we ordain a deacon, we get a team. And We're not asking the woman to be a deacon. We're not asking the woman to be in the position of her husband if he can't be there. It's nothing like that. It's just that they have their home in order. They have their house in order. And it's the way that it's supposed to be. We expect the wife of the deacon to be faithful. We expect the wife of the deacon to work in the church, to be a part of everything that is going on, that they are to fulfill what this word says. The wife must be grave, no slander, sober, faithful in all things. And he says, let the deacon be the husband of one wife. And I have folks that will argue with me about that and turn blue in the face that he's talking about one wife at a time. Now let me clarify that. We're just going to read here in just a little bit that he's to have his house in order. That he's to be a man that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you tell me, if a man, and I realize that sometimes divorce happens and there's nothing the man can do about it. I realize that. I understand that. I'm sorry, it just disqualifies that person from being a deacon. Doesn't disqualify him from working in the church and winning souls to Jesus and doing all kinds of things. Just disqualifies him from the office of deacon. It disqualifies the pastor from the office of the pastor if that takes place. I don't know how I could be any more clear than that. But how can you be if... And I always want to ask this question, how many times? If you believe that, if you believe that a pastor or a deacon can be married more than one time and still serve in the church, how many times can they be married? How many times can they be divorced and remarried? I'm not talking about widows. I'm talking about two living wives or three living wives or four living wives or five living wives. He's not got his house in order. He just doesn't need to be serving as a deacon. Well, we need them. Yeah, we do. They had several thousand folks in the first church, and they didn't have but seven. I'll bet they had their hands full, but they didn't have but seven. In verse 12, let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. What can I say? They've got to have their own house in order. So the Amplified Bible, let's back up to verse 11 where it talks about the wives. And let me read what the Amplified Bible says here. The women likewise must be worthy of respect, their wives, of course, what it's talking about, respect and serious, not gossipers, but temperate and self-control, thoroughly trustworthy in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of but one wife, and let them manage their children and their own household well. For those who perform well as a deacon acquire good standing for themselves and also gain much confidence and freedom and boldness in the faith which is founded on and centers in Christ Jesus. Been a lot of changes in the church in the last 50 years. Seventy-five years ago, this would have never been questioned in Baptist churches. Maybe 50 years ago, it would have never been questioned in Baptist churches. I was serving as moderator of Black River Baptist Association when I pastored First Baptist Church of Tuckerman, and one of the churches in our association decided to ordain a woman as a deacon. And it caused trouble. These folks were friends of mine. They were neighbors where we had lived at before. And they had at one time been members of my church. And myself and associational missionary and two or three other board members met with the church. And the church had done it through the direction of a pastor that did not know the word. And the church asked, how can we straighten this out? And I said, well, it'll be real easy. The church is going to call for the woman to surrender her ordination back to the church. And the church did that, and the pastor and his wife left. But it was the right thing to do, and it's still the right thing to do. 40 years later, it's still the right thing to do. Sometimes what we preach is not going to land very soft, Tim. We have to preach the whole counsel of God, no matter what the people in the congregation think that it means. We have to stand on what we feel like is the truth. And I've had a lot of people to try to convince me that what I believe is wrong. and I respect folks, but it's just what I believe that the Bible teaches. There was a time that the church tried to, without me knowing it, put a lady in a class teaching men. And then it finally came to my attention. And anyway, the people involved in it asked me how strong I believed that a woman should not teach a Sunday school class with men in it. And I said, I believe it so strongly that if it comes before the church as a vote and the church votes to allow it, I'll be gone. I'm not going to do that. If you can't stand for what you believe, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You better stand on what you believe. And it doesn't matter if it's Aunt Mary's nephew or somebody's son or daughter that they don't agree with you. You better stand on what the Word of God teaches and just keep standing on that.